I dream of a church where everyone is welcome. I dream of a place we all can call home. I dream of a world where justice is flowing, with hope and peace growing, where God's will is done. Make it so.
When the human one comes in his majesty and all of his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then those who are righteous will reply to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me."
Oh God, fill our hearts to reach out and welcome. Make us to see your vision once more. Let's dream of
I do not know exactly what lies ahead, how far we will have to travel on the road of unrest. I cannot foretell the number of bombs that will have to explode or the lives that will have to be lost before we understand that we cannot kill each other into the future we think we have imagined.
You cannot hate enough to make yourself happy.
You cannot destroy enough to make yourself feel secure.
You cannot oppress enough to make yourself feel superior.
You cannot commit enough evil to make yourself feel holy.
I do not know exactly what lies ahead, how far we will have to travel on the road of unrest. I cannot foretell how many rights will have to be taken away or how much progress will have to be reversed before we understand that we cannot persecute each other into the future we think we have imagined.
We cannot neglect each other enough to feel worthy.
We cannot starve each other enough to feel full.
We cannot silence one another enough to feel heard.
We cannot fragment each other enough to feel whole.
I do not know exactly what lies ahead, how far we will have to travel on the road of unrest. I cannot foretell how many babies' bodies will have to float on the sea of greed and vainglory before we understand that we cannot bully our way into the future we think we have imagined.
We cannot bury each other deep enough to feel alive.
We cannot rape each other enough to feel loved.
We cannot infect each other enough to feel well.
We cannot enslave one another enough to feel free.
Before it is too late, may we understand that the call is coming from inside the house. Before it is too late, may we comprehend that the stench,
rot,
brokenness,
emptiness,
insecurity,
woundedness,
disease,
is from within and not without. Erasing you will not heal me. May we understand before it is too late. God help us to understand before it is too late. Amen.
Make it so. Make it so. So we dream of a world where love reigns among us and your will is done. Oh God, make it so.
We are about halfway there. Since beginning our Lent journey together on Ash Wednesday, we continue to wander along the wilderness looking for Jesus, looking for answers, seeking clarity, opening ourselves to how and what God might be speaking to us. Or have we? Let's just get real for a minute. Have we done these things? Any of them? I'll be honest, I've been so caught up juggling year-end tax stuff at my accounting job and planning Lent and Easter worship and all the extra that goes along with this time of the church liturgical year that until Friday, that is, until day before yesterday, I'd not even read a single day of our Lenten devotional diving lessons. Sure, I'd scanned through examples before I ordered those for us way back in the beginning of the year. And then when they came in early February, I had read rapidly through them. But to really dive in and learn lessons? Not so much. That's why I posted on Facebook Friday that if you had not been reading along, no time like the present to catch up. For as I took some time to read on Friday, I was sitting beside Brenda and she was reading a book. I continued to interrupt her Zen moments by saying out loud, "Oh, this one's really good." 5 minutes later, "Oh, this one's really good. I'm going to dog ear it." And I know she wanted to say, "Well, babe, this book I'm trying to read is good as well." So here's the deal. If you haven't been able to commit fully to the Lent journey, if life has somehow found its way to interrupt your path, don't leave the path. Take some time to get up back on track, because trust me, there's some good stuff in that devotional. And if you don't have a copy and would like one, see me after church. I'd be happy to give you one. There's some good stuff in it. And there's beautiful liturgy and music in our worship series. In other words, friends, there are plenty of opportunities to be more present with God's still speaking voice in our lives. Today's scripture can be summed up, I think, in the title of my sermon reflection this morning: Standing In, Out, and Up. We should pay attention to where the writer of Matthew placed this Jesus teaching. Right before the events that would lead to Jesus' crucifixion. In fact, the very next chapter of Matthew, chapter 26, begins with, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." And then that led to the actions of Jesus' arrest and death that immediately followed. Now, on the surface, these details may seem not to be important. However, I've often said to you all, I find the details of Scripture to be very important and very intentional. And so I'm going to pay pretty close attention to the last teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples before his mind was fixated on his death. And the teaching in Matthew was this: "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me." Now here's the Marcia translation. Jesus said right before the events leading to his death, "When you did not stand out from the crowd that seeks to draw you into the easy way of going along with the powerful, when you did not stand up for those being abused and ignored, then you did not stand in for me." This is important, folks. Or at least it seemed important to the one we claim to follow. You see, friends, Jesus knew how his life was going to unfold. Living perfectly and fully into the will of God meant that Jesus would suffer a horrendous death by crucifixion. It was guaranteed that that would happen because Jesus refused to alter his message of inclusivity and love. He refused to cater to society's upper echelon. Jesus refused. He refused to allow religious authorities to let their rules and traditions exclude and make unilateral decisions of who's in and who's out of God's circle of grace and mercy. And Jesus refused. Hear me, friends. Jesus refused to allow political authorities to run rampant without any kind of disruption or challenge. This is the example Jesus gave to us. And that is how Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus stood out from the conformist. And Jesus stood up. He stood up for those without power or voice. And so if we truly say we are followers of Jesus, it is more than wearing a bracelet, "What would Jesus do?" It is doing what Jesus would do. If we profess that it is the example of Jesus that we wish to live our own lives, then the truth is there's a lot at stake for us, brothers and sisters. It was not easy for Jesus. And it won't be easy for us. Now, in some theological circles, this hard life of following Jesus is interpreted to mean that it's hard to live a godly life in terms of avoiding cuss words or drinking or cheating in a relationship. But frankly, as much as I failed at all of those at some point in my life, these are fairly easy things to keep in check. What is difficult, far more difficult, well, at least for me, is to put my life in jeopardy or my reputation on the line for people or things that I have really no vested interest in. People who would be easy to ignore because I could certainly alter my life's path in a way to never come in contact with people in prison or dirty, homeless people. Well, I could even be a good Christian and send a check to help those folks and avoid my encounter with them. In other words, when my flesh wants to focus on the cost-benefit analysis to determine who and what I want to commit time and energy and take risks for, God calls me to a higher plane. For what today's scripture lesson is clearly outlining for us is the basic tenet of Jesus' life and ministry. And very often, the truth is, it's an example we would just soon ignore. And we'd like to avoid. And sometimes we do. You know, we find ourselves placed within a myriad of popular movies and books at the crossroads of an inconvenient truth, paving the road less traveled towards a purpose-filled life. And I say again, if we seek to walk an authentic Christian journey, then we are called to stand in for Jesus, to find our unique ways to do as Jesus did, to welcome the marginalized, to break bread with the dirty and the downtrodden, to do ministry with the least desirable, and to call as friends those who are far less from perfect. We are called to stand in for Jesus. And the hard truth is that unless we do it consistently, we cannot expect the world to be more godlike in terms of how we treat the least among us. When we stand in for Jesus in our world today, we will stand out. For most of us, we will stand out from those in our family. We will stand out from some of our closest friends. We will stand out from our work colleagues. And we most certainly will stand out from this individualistic society that we find ourselves in. And then, friends, when we stand in for Jesus, we will stand up. We will find the courage to stand up to political powers and tyranny, no matter who we offend in the process. We will stand up to religious piety, and we will call out those who think they're the only ones that get to speak for God or to God's purpose. We will stand up to society bullies who think they can run the world unchecked, preying on the most vulnerable in our shared communities and taking advantage of those who can't fight back. Lent is this wonderful time of the church liturgical year that invites us to reflection of where we stand with regard to living a life commensurate with the example of Jesus. It's a time for us to reflect, are we congruent with what we say we believe and the Christian values we profess? Lent is a time, friends, to let go of things that stand in our way of being all God calls us to be. And it's a time to let go of excuses. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too bored. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. Too complacent. I'm too fill in the blank to make a difference. I'm too fill in the blank to make a difference in my own life or in the life of others. See, friends, Lent is a time to let go, to regroup, to let things die that are holding us back so we can be resurrected into the fullness of God's promise. Now, should we continue to accept that invitation? Should we desire to up the ante in our proclamation as a Jesus follower? Then we will indeed stand in and stand out and stand up. I've said this many times before, and frankly, some of you take issue with it. When I've said it before, I've received a Facebook message or an email or a text. But you know, as my good friend and our former late elder and retired Methodist minister, Herm Heise, often reminded me, that's the job of a pastor, to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Good advice, huh? Well, here goes. No matter how we might choose to ignore it, we are all God has to make a difference in this world. There is no magic to righting the wrongs of our world, to making sure that every human being is treated fairly with love and dignity and equal rights. There is no magic to fixing a criminal justice system that's still riddled with racism. There is no magic, friends, to upending systemic issues or rampant policies which threaten our environment or widening the gaps between those with and those without money, power, voice. We are called. We sung that earlier. Yes, indeed, we are called. That is not in question. The real question is, will we answer? Will we pick up the phone to God's call for our life? Will we look around the table of life and see who is missing? Or worse yet, who wasn't invited? Will we stand in? Will we stand out? Will we stand up? Perhaps the best way to regroup and to find our standing is to acknowledge that the glimpse of God is found in every single one of us and in every single one of them. And when we do that, we will not rest until we are all standing together. May it be so. Now I want you to turn to someone near you, and I want you to say to them, I see God in you.
Make it so, make it so. We pray for the day, make it so. I dream of a world where love reigns among us and your will is done. Oh. so.